This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Oh, we're talking about forming your identity, right? And so this is a sense of self-identity that's always been a big part of our journey as leaders, but it becomes more important in today's world where changes are fast and constant and where the younger generation is continuously bombarded with information and social influences. So we're going to discover why identity formation is important, how we can embrace the process. Welcome back, Sashi. I know you're not feeling too well, but why such a heavy topic on top of the not feeling well?
Well, it didn't come in sequence like that. So this was decided already, right? But yeah, it's not the easiest of topics. You're exactly right. But I think it's important. Probably not the best topic to discuss in a short radio segment, but I think you'll see that it brings a lot of insights into people and how they behave. Mm. And I think it's worth it to try to make sense of it, especially today. I think the world is changing so much and we're constantly being bombarded by different influences, whether it be social media or other forms of, you know, data coming through at you on the internet, peer pressure. So it's such an important component of trying to disentangle all that and making decisions in life.
All right. So explain what you mean by identity formation.
Yep. So usually I'd like to start with why, but I think in this topic, it's better to start with what. No, what is it? So maybe I start with a little story first. You know, when I was growing up, I moved around every 4 years. I never stayed in a city 4 years because my parents moved. Mm. And so I wound up, you know, not having identity formed very early in age. I actually started, you know, I felt that I matured later in life because as I kept moving, I didn't have the exposure and the wisdom. Mm. And I kept being bombarded by different situations that I was in. And I just kind of kept just going on with life. Like, right. You know, just that's cool. Just keep going, you know, okay. Day at a time.
And it's like, you don't, you know, you want to make friends, but at the same time, it's like, okay, I'm going to say goodbye in 4 years' time. So like, how deep do I want to have these friendships, right?
Yeah. And then without those deep relationships, you actually wind up hurting yourself because you don't decide who you are. Mm. And I realized very early that it actually made a lot of difference because when I started making decisions, I didn't have any foundation to make those decisions on without knowing who I really was. So I think to answer the question, back to your question, what is identity formation? I would like the listeners to answer this question, which is, what do you stand for? Mm. How would you describe yourself? Or alternatively, how would somebody else describe you? How are you known to others? And I think the answers to these questions would really help you define your identity. And hopefully they're the same.
Okay, you know, like you ask these questions, I guess this is something you think about as people driving out of town.
Yeah.
In deep, deep questions.
Especially when you're stuck in traffic.
So what kind of answers are you looking for in that question though?
Yeah, I think a lot of people will throw out lots of adjectives.
Okay.
Which is fair. But a lot of those adjectives are going to be based on status symbols. Mm. So for example, I am a family man. Mm. Or I'm an engineer. Or I'm rich, or I'm poor, or I'm tall, or I'm short, or whatever it may be, right? I think you got to get deeper than that. Mm. It's not about status that can change, that are transitional. Those are not the words that I'm looking for. I'm looking for words that describe who you are, what do you believe in, what are your aspirations, what do you stand for as a person, right? Mm. What is your identity? And the reason why I think people get stuck is because a lot of people, for example, you might identify yourself as a lawyer.
Yeah.
I'm a lawyer, right? I'm an engineer. Mm. But that's dangerous because in the US, IBM Watson has come up with AI software that does lawyering, basic lawyering work, 90% accuracy, or else humans do 70% accuracy. Mm. So if your status or your identity is defined by your profession,
Habis.
Mm. Right. So it's probably going to change.
Finito. Finished.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a good example. I was always known as an IT guy, right? Yeah. Because I graduated, I worked all the way from, you know, all sorts of engineering, IT jobs, to automation, to software development, to project management. And I was always the IT guy.
Right.
Even at home, I was the IT guy, right? Anybody had a problem with IT?
Okay. Right. Okay. So, you know, like, that's the thing as well, right? I think for me in my career, I've always constantly moved and tried something else. And I didn't want to be pigeonholed, right, into something. But everybody wants to say, but what are you? What are you, Frida? What are you, you know? And it's like, okay, I guess I have to box myself to make it easy for you.
Yes, and that's the wrong reason to do
right?
so. Yeah.
You know?
Boxing yourself is never the right thing, but continuing to explore and find that identity is very important. Mm. But you're right, it makes people uncomfortable when you can't.
Yeah, I've done so many things, right? Yeah. And I didn't want to be classified as one thing, you know? Like right now, people, it's okay, Frida, BFM. You know, so that's you know,
that's
but you know, there's more to me, and that's the reason why I wrote books.
Yes,
I didn't want to be just that, right?
And it's underlying, right? So even though it's they say you're BFM or you're a media producer or things like that, there's something underlying that makes it suitable for you.
Mm.
So for example, people kept calling me an IT guy to the point that I believed it. Like I am an IT guy, right? That's who I am.
Yeah.
But really, that wasn't my identity. And when I dug deeper, and it was later in life that I dug deeper, I said, listen, that's not what it was.
Mm.
That just happens to be where I work. But what it was I'm a problem solver. I really enjoy solving problems.
Okay.
And that's who I am. And it just so happens that in that field, that there's lots of opportunity for me to express who I am through solving problems in IT.
Okay. I'll get to the next one. But another thing that people always like to ask me, so what's your greatest achievement today? And I'm like, you know, there's so many things that I'm proud of, right? And then I said, I spread it out into the 8 to 10 areas in life, right? The physical side, I'm glad I finished a full marathon, right? Is that my greatest achievement? I don't think so. But then, you know, I've got a kid, right? That's a great achievement that he's still around. and doing all right, that's also an achievement. So like I can't really also say what's the greatest achievement. There's so many aspects of my life which I'm proud of, right? So again, people like to sort of like, you know, and when people ask the question, it's always from a career perspective.
Yes.
I know that's where they're coming from, but that's not how I feel.
Exactly, because you don't define your identity by your career or by those status symbols.
So, okay.
And by the way, just on an aside, the greatest answer to that question is my greatest achievement is yet to come.
That's a good one.
So I read that somewhere. So
okay.
It's not mine.
so we go into that perspective, right? So then let's dissect this further. Why is this important?
Well, it's super important because at the end of the day, if you know your strengths, who you are, what your aspirations are, what your goals are in life, what your beliefs are, it helps you chart your path, right? And what does that mean? It means decision making. When you make decisions, things start to align. It increases your self-esteem. It reduces depression. It's actually less effort for you to make decisions because you're always aligning your career choices or your life choices with who you are internally.
Mm.
So like, for example, for me, I would never pursue a role as a CEO in a company because I know that there's some things about me about who I am, that it doesn't suit. No, I would rather be a COO and a CEO.
Okay.
So those are the kind of self-awareness that I think helps you, you know, make the right decisions, whether it be career or life.
Right.
And a lot of people wind up making career decisions without actually knowing that about themselves.
Because the natural path said, oh, I want to be CEO because it sounds fancy.
Yeah, or the opportunity presents itself and you just jump into it.
Yeah.
But it takes a lot of courage to say no because it doesn't align to who I am and what I believe or how I want to conduct myself.
Mm.
And that's where I think if you don't have that wisdom up front, you wind up being unhappy later. There's a lot of confusion. Sometimes you don't even know that you're unhappy because there's this misalignment in your life, right? So if I break it down to two things, why do you do things, right? You do things for two reasons. One is because it feels good and because it's the right thing to do.
Feels good is the right thing to do.
Those are the only two reasons why anybody does anything, in my opinion, right?
True.
So if you think about that, how do you know what feels good to you? Because it's different for everybody.
Mm.
And how do you know what's right thing to do for you? And if you really want to do things, you need to know what's right for you and what feels good for you. And that's why it's important.
Okay, so what if you don't understand your identity well?
Well, I think it causes confusion. I see it very often in relationships. I mean, the most common thing that I'm seeing right now is people wind up having kids without really understanding themselves and how or why they're having kids or, you know, or having time to explore themselves in order to be ready for that, right?
Yes.
Or just other relationship issues, overall lack of direction. I see young people jumping jobs and just doing it for that extra pay without understanding that eventually you're going to be unhappy.
Yeah.
If you don't align to who you are. Again, back to my story, when I was moving around every 4 years, I just tried to copy people because I didn't know who I was. So I thought, hey, listen, maybe the people around me.
Okay. And there's good and bad because maybe we call it role modeling, right?
Correct.
And you role model and then maybe it's also a process elimination. Through that process, you were able to filter to who you were by by role modeling.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think I could have saved myself a lot of grief if I had, you know, been able to filter the role models a little bit
better
by knowing myself. But instead, I just, whichever situation I was in, I started, you know, following the crowd. Or because, when you don't know who you are, you follow whatever's around you, right? Mm. And that came from, you know, even in the mid-20s, 30s, you know, you're drinking kaki and things like that, right? So who you hang out with and what are you looking for and what are the values you're forming? But you need to take time to kind of explore that yourself first before you start looking at role models.
With that, now how then do we go about defining identity? We'll discuss that in just a moment. I'm here with Sashi Kanapati from Ludonomics. Stay tuned to Raise Your Game, BFM 89.9.
Baba from Malacca, BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
A very deep discussion on Raise Your Game this morning. I'm here with Sashi Kanapati from Leadonomics. Freedom, you here. Talk about forming your identity. You know, and earlier on, we went into the what of the identity and, you know,
and
sometimes...
the why.
And the why. And then, like, when you're not clear about who it is and, I don't know, maybe it's a process in life where you sort of get to understand it, you know. But if... Now that we know this, right, now that we know that we need to identify our identity, how then do we go about forming our identity?
So it's a great question. In Leadonomics, we have this thing called Science of Building Leaders. And with that, we say that usually the majority of identity is formed between the ages of 13 to 21.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a process to it. But of course, it continues to evolve. It doesn't end at 21 or anything like that. We say that first you got to build your character. And this is, you know, your performance character, your moral character. And then there's identity formation. From identity formation, you then define purpose. Because with identity, you can define what your goals are. And then you build competencies to support your purpose or your goal. And that's kind of the process that people take. But now, how do you build identity? It's a continuous process, like you mentioned earlier. So I'm going to use this analogy of a roller coaster. Hopefully it's clear over the radio waves because I'm going to be using my hand a lot. So imagine a roller coaster with multiple loops and each loop getting progressively larger and higher. And what happens is in the beginning, the loops are small, so they're relatively easy to go around. It's a 360, right? So you start your engines, you go up that ramp, that up ramp. You know, you struggle a little bit, but it's not a big struggle. You get past that up ramp and you get to the top and then the fun starts, right? Because now you're swinging back around, down, you know. It's all fun and momentum and, you know, life's easy.
Yeah.
Then as you come back down that first loop, you start approaching that second loop, which is bigger.
Yeah.
But then that up ramp is also harder to come up,
right?
So that momentum from that first loop is not going to get you up there.
Okay.
So what you got to do is you got to then start your engines again. You got to fight through that again, right? And it's so it's this continuous loops that you go through. And each loop is kind of an identity formation.
I see.
And what you define early on in life as identity isn't going to be enough to take you to the rest of life.
Right.
So you'll continue to go up and find different challenges. And the idea is as you progress through your life, those challenges become bigger. The situations you find yourself in are more complex. You get more conflict with your identity. There are bigger conflicts, you know, sometimes very significant with relationships and career and things like that. And that's when those are opportunities for you to fight through and redefine your identity or refine your identity as you go through those bigger
things. Explains a lot why I don't like...
You don't like what? Roller coasters?
Yeah. There's a deeper reason why. Okay, no, apart from the fact it's fearful, but okay, now I get it, right? Because it's just like, it just gets tougher and tougher each time, and it gets scarier and scarier each time as well, right?
That's right. It happens over and over again. We have to kind of embrace that.
Okay, so now this whole thing, though, you know, this continuous challenge doesn't start in childhood, so this is continuous, right? From childhood until forever and ever.
Forever and ever.
Unfortunately.
Forever and ever. That's right. And I can break it down into three stages. First thing what you do is, like I mentioned, you, for the lack of better information or wisdom, you start copying other people, right? This is where you assume somebody else's identity. When you're young, this is usually cultural, religious, parents form your identity. Although national identity as well, right? When you're young, a lot of people identify themselves as a certain nationality. But of course, nowadays, with the internet and social media, there's a lot of other influences that people copy from. So that's that first stage where you assume somebody else's identity. And then the second stage is where you get confused over that assumed identity because you're put into conflict. And this is the critical juncture where as parents, you have to allow people or your kids to explore safely. Because I think a lot of parents, what they do is they say, no, this is your identity. Stick to it. Don't go over there.
Right.
But then it's an assumed identity. It's not their own. Mm. And you got to allow them to explore that. Yes, it'll be a little bit of confusion and conflict, but in a safe space. You have to draw boundaries, but you have to allow that exploration. Mm. Otherwise, it's always going to be assumed.
Two stories here I want to relate back. One of which is when I grew up in Brunei, right? Mm. And when I was 14, my dad retired and had to go back. And I had this identity loss, you know, because this is the country that I was born in. Mm. That was my school. That was my friends. And I thought I had a couple more years before my dad retired. You know, he had an early retirement. And it was just like, wow, it was such a shocker to come back to what was my country, which was, you know, Kuching Sarawak was, I mean, Malaysia was my country, but having no affiliation with it apart from a yearly holiday.
Yeah, so that's a great example.
And then after that, so it was a bit of a challenge then. And right now with my son, right, he's deciding on what course to do. And like I said, okay, I know what you're naturally talented and, you know, and then it's not your traditional path of an engineer, doctor, lawyer, for sure. He's not skewed in that direction. So I've sort of set the path. I said, here are some things to look at. So no, Mamba, I want to go to Canada. It's like, but what are you doing? Is it, don't know. Is it, yeah, I haven't seen you do any research, right?
Right.
I'm not going to be wasting, you know, well, I didn't say that, but like, here I am trying to let him have the freedom to do it. But he's like, his natural state of like, no action is also killing me.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm fine if he says, yes, I want to go to this place to do this, to do this, to do this.
Because this.
Yeah. I'm fine. But until then, you know what I mean? Like, so at this point in my life, that's what's going through my head.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a great example because a lot of people say, I want to do this. And if you dig down deeper, the reasons for I want to do this is usually
because my friend is there.
My friend is there or some you know, expectation of this world that they can be in because of something else that they got information from.
Exactly.
Nothing to do with alignment of identity.
Right. So, and so I am like, you know, a mom who's fairly well-read and, you know, and I want to set him up for success. But at the same time, I know that it's a path he has to take. Right. Like I know with my family, my parents never decided for me what to do, but they knew that I sort of like, this girl will decide wanna, you know, she'll be able to figure it out or figure it out along the way. Right. But at least I'm doing research, you know, I'm doing things, right? Yeah. But this one's just like, you know, she'll ask me questions. I'm like, there's this thing called Google. When I was growing up, I didn't have Google.
Yeah, that's
you know,
right.
It's called flipping through the newspapers.
Yeah. And that's another problem, right? Because now with so much information, they take the easy way out and the exploration of identity becomes harder and it's too much effort. So people just skip that process.
Mm.
But it's such an important process, especially at that age that you're talking about.
So this is, because I just look at him, you know, and that's his personality as well that I have to understand. He's not my personality, you know. That's why at least we get on fairly well because if I think we're both the same personality,
a clash
as well. So, okay, I get the process, right? But so what are the key takeaways for people to help define identity then?
Okay, so first thing is agency. I think I love that word, by the way. It means... You got to own what you do. Mm. You take full responsibility for your decisions and consequences and you don't blame others. Mm. And you have to have agency. If you don't have agency, you're never going to get started on this process of identity formation because you're always going to blame everything on anybody else. Mm. You're never going to self-reflect. So then, you know, once you have agency, make the link on how you think, what are your decisions, and then make that link to yourself. Why am I deciding this? Why am I feeling this? Why am I thinking this?
Mm.
Because I own my decision, I own my feelings.
Right.
So then you try to make those links. And basically then you just expose yourself, continue to expose yourself to different things. It's like the loops in the roller coaster, right? Find that next loop to expose yourself because that challenge will then help you grow and test your identity a little bit. So, you know, you said you don't like the roller coaster, but the best advice anyone can give is you have to embrace conflict.
Right.
And if something conflicts with what you think or feel, that's the best opportunity to learn. Mm. So George Kohlreiser, who's an IMD lecturer, speak to him and he said, you know, leaders need to wake up and say, I can't wait for my first conflict.
Oh.
And if your mindset is in that space, then you're going to be a great leader. Because,
and if there isn't one, I'll start one.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to find my first conflict because otherwise you're not being challenged to grow, right?
Mm.
So parting words, have agency, own who you are. Make decisions based on your identity and then seek out exposure and conflict and then rinse and repeat.
Prince and Peter, but maybe not too much conflict during Raya.
Okay, maybe not.
Especially visiting relatives.
All peace and joy.
All peace and joy. Thanks for being with us, Sashi Ganapati from Leadernomics, talking about forming your identity. You've been listening to Race Again, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.